Good morning, and welcome to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. The first broadcast of the Word of Grace took place on January 28, 1969, with the founding minister, the Reverend Donald Campbell. We are now entering into our 51st year. We are grateful to God for the comfort and inspiration which so many have received from the broadcast over the years. Financial support for our radio ministry comes from listeners throughout the Eastern Townships and beyond. We are grateful for the faithful support we have received. It is especially helpful to receive donations over the course of the year. Memorial donations given in memory of deceased relatives and friends may be made at any time. Our prayerful hope and expectation is that the broadcast will continue to be heard well into the future. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Remember also that you can access the program at any time on the website of CJMQ, www.cjmq.fm.
Good morning, and once again, welcome to this broadcast of the Word of Grace on CJMQ Radio. This is brought to you by the Congregation of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church and their supporters, and my name is Nigel Parker, and I have the privilege of being the minister of St. Andrew's Presbyterian. In these summer days, we've been dipping into some of the Psalms, and I thought I had finished my selection in the Psalms last week when we looked at Psalm 150, the very last Psalm. However, on one of our recent summer Sundays, among the visitors that we've welcomed to the congregation at St. Andrew's Presbyterian, and visitors are always welcome at 10:30 on a Sunday morning and they are always present, the visitor put me in mind of some hurt and pain addressed in a Psalm, Psalm 44. So I thought I would stay with that thought today with just a few of these opening verses. We have heard it with our ears, O God. Our ancestors have told us what you did in their days, in days long ago. With your hand you drove out the nations and planted our ancestors. You crushed the peoples and made our ancestors flourish. It was not by their sword that they won the land, nor did their arm bring them victory. It was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your face, for you loved them. Let us pray. God of promise and purpose, through Jesus Christ you have called us to be your people and given us a purpose for our lives each day. You created the world and all that is in it, and you work reconciliation and renewal among us. And we assemble, each in our own space today, to worship and to adore you, to be renewed and to live out your purpose in the week ahead. We seek your wisdom and guidance to lead us through the choices we face and the challenges that surround us. You are our God, and we offer you our loyalty and praise, so the world will see that we belong to you as we follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ our Lord. We confess our tendency to murmur and complain, to question those whom you set over us, to seek our own glory rather than yours. Forgive us for any rebellion, any lack of submission, any self-exaltation we have displayed. Grant us wisdom to discern your will and your ways. Help us to avoid the pitfalls of those who rebelled against you in times past. Give us a humble spirit that's willing to embrace your will, whatever that may be, that we may serve you with a pure heart. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Psalm 44, whose opening verses I began with, was written in the name of the sons of Korah. Indeed, the heading on the psalm says, "For the director of music of the sons of Korah, a maskil." Their father Korah was not their immediate father, but a distant ancestor, a cousin of Moses and Aaron, and we can read about him in Numbers 16, an account of an incident during the wilderness wanderings of the people of God, between the exodus from Egypt and settling in the land. Numbers chapter 16. Korah, son of Itzar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and certain Reubenites, Dathan and Abiram, sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, became insolent and rose up against Moses. With them were 250 Israelite men, well-known community leaders who had been appointed members of the council. They came as a group to oppose Moses and Aaron and said to them, "You've gone too far. The whole community is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is with them. Why then do you set yourselves above the Lord's assembly?" When Moses heard this, he fell face down. And then he said to Korah and all his followers, "In the morning the Lord will show who belongs to him and who is holy, and he will make that person come near him. The man he chooses will cause him, he will cause to come near him. You, Korah, and all your followers are to do this. Take censers, and tomorrow put burning coals and incense in them before the Lord. The man the Lord chooses will be the one who is holy. You Levites have gone too far." Well, the story goes on to tell of their rebellion. In verse 31 of Numbers 16 we read, "The ground under them split apart, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them and their households and all those associated with Korah, together with their possessions. They went down alive into the realm of the dead, and everything they owned, the earth closed over them, and they perished and were gone from the community. At their cries, all the Israelites around them fled, shouting, 'The earth is going to swallow us too!'"
Our God is enough.
The visitor I mentioned at the beginning of this program found herself trapped. A number of relationships hadn't worked out. There was estrangement within the family. There were breakdowns in communication, and she had wandered away from the ways of God, and she had, in a sense, hit rock bottom. We talked after the service, and I asked what had led her to church that day, and she said words to the effect, and I only changed them slightly. "Is this a place for the brokenhearted?" I was chaplain at a church camp earlier this summer, and I talked with a 16-year-old lad who was having his first romantic crisis. The girl he loved with all his heart and without whom he could not live was breaking up with him. And he came to ask me whose interpersonal relationships does not have a stellar record, and said, "Have you ever had a broken heart, minister?" The story from Numbers about the ground swallowing up Korah doesn't sound like medicine for the brokenhearted, but bear with me. Korah's job was as a lifter and shifter, to help transport the holy furnishings of the sanctuary, the Ark of the Covenant, the altar, the lampstand, and so on. And at some point, Korah decided that all this manual labour was really beneath him. Moses and Aaron, the big guns, if you like, were his cousins after all, but they led Israel while he was stuck on the wilderness moving crew. It wasn't right. It wasn't fair. He deserved better. So he and a mob of similarly discontented Israelites confronted his cousins. "You take too much upon yourselves," they accused. "All the congregation is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord?" Long story short, God made it abundantly clear what he thought of Korah's attempted power grab. And the story ends with Korah and his fellow rebels completely annihilated, swallowed up by the earth itself, with their households and all the men with Korah and all their goods. The Bible calls it the Korah incident, and it was to be memorialized forever, a warning to anyone else who felt they had the right or the authority to challenge God's divine instructions. Now, in his mercy, God appears to have spared some of Korah's household, perhaps the ones too young to participate in the revolt. And their inheritance, though, was the legacy of a foolish man who brought ruin on himself and on those who followed him. And that was the shadow that they lived in and the name they couldn't escape, these sons of Korah. And yet, when the Bible introduces us again to the sons of Korah generations later, we don't see a clan holding on to bitterness and resentment and rebellion. They're not nursing a centuries-old grudge. They are serving. Hundreds of years after Korah's rebellion, his descendants were doing the very work Korah had turned his nose up at. Transporting vessels, looking after furnishings and implements, guarding the gates of the sanctuary. The work didn't change, but the attitude of those doing the work changed. And 11 of the 150 Psalms preserved for us are attributed to the sons of Korah. And in those Psalms, we catch a glimpse of what made these men different from their ancestor. Psalm 84, verse 10. "For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness." That's not a figure of speech. The Korahites were gatekeepers of God's temple, and they knew the story of their ancestors' rebellion. The sons of Korah could have followed in Korah's footsteps. They could have made a scene and demanded more. But instead, they chose to be doorkeepers. They chose to fulfill the role God had reserved for them with honour and excitement. And for the sons of Korah, being near God, being in his service, was everything. What Korah took for granted and then resented, his descendants treasured. Look at how the sons of Korah handled what had become a shameful family name. Because of their dedication and obedience to God, because of their refusal to follow in their forefathers' error, being a son of Korah was no longer a shameful thing. And so Psalm 44 opens. "For the director of music, of the sons of Korah, a maskil, We have heard it with our ears, O God. Our ancestors have told us what you did in their days, in days long ago. With your hand you drove out the nations and planted our ancestors. You crushed the peoples and made our ancestors flourish. It was not by their sword that they won the land, nor did their arm bring them victory. It was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your face, for you loved them. They discovered the love of God through the willful disobedience of their ancestor. And Psalm 44 goes on to feature an honest monologue with God, struggling to praise God while acknowledging the current state of affairs. You have severely broken us in the place of jackals and covered us with the shadow of death, they say. And in this psalm, we see how questions coexist alongside faith. The sons of Korah trusted in the love of God, but it didn't change the fact that there were in their times and in their lives moments when they were hurt, confused, unable to understand God's purposes and reasons. And maybe we can look at that a bit more next week. But what about you? In your life, which one is it? Are you a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord, or do you dwell in the tents of the wickedness? Do you embrace the opportunities God gives you to learn and grow and serve, even when they're not glamorous or enviable? Or do you set yourself against God and demand something better, whatever that is? Your family history is irrelevant. The actions of those who came before you are irrelevant. The sons of Korah took a tarnished family name, and through their dedication to serving God in whatever capacity he allowed, they made that name stand for something else entirely. Psalm 34 says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." Amen.
Sometimes we don't see how they could. Struggles that break our hearts in two sometimes blind us to the truth. Our Father knows what's best for us. His ways are not our own. So when your pathway grows dim and you just don't see him, remember you're never alone. God is too wise to be mistaken. Is too good to be unkind. So when you don't understand, when you don't see his plan, when you can't trace his hand, trust his heart. You and me to someday So when you don't understand, when you don't see his plan, when you can't trace his hand, trust his heart. He alone is faithful and true. He alone knows what is best for you.
Turn to God again in prayer. Let us pray. We give you all thanks and praise, O God, for you are the giver of honour and grace, and we are eager for your presence with us. The heavens and the earth cannot contain you, for you have created them and hold them in your hand, and yet you dwell among your people and allow even the birds of the air to nest in your courts and honour you with their song. You have sent your Holy One, Jesus Christ, to speak to us your word of spirit and life. And though the forces of evil and death consumed him, he rose from the grave, proclaiming your gospel of peace. And now he nourishes us for eternal life and arms us with truth, righteousness and salvation, that we might stand firm against the corrupt spiritual powers that would tear down all who seek you with integrity. Faithful God, thank you for guiding us when we cannot see the path ahead. Thank you for showing us a way through our challenges when we cannot see a solution on our own. Renew our trust in you in these days when so much is confusing and uncertain. We pray for those who wonder if they can rely on you, and for those who are afraid for the future. Give them courage to listen for your call and follow your leading. We pray for those who doubt. Give them courage to explore those doubts and questions and so discover renewed trust in your promises. We pray for those who are impatient. Bless them in times of waiting for what comes next and fill them with kindness. We pray for those who have chosen a path that has led to trouble. Turn their hearts towards you and lead them in ways of goodness and justice and generosity. We pray for your church in these days when so much is changing. Give us wisdom to discern ways to reach out to our communities and faithfulness to keep following Jesus into the future you hold in your hands. Faithful God, we depend on you. Be gracious and bless us, so that our lives may be a blessing to others. And together we pray the words Jesus taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.
You've been listening to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry, brought to you each Sunday at this time by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Our church is located on Queen Street in Lennoxville. We have a strong tradition of service in this area. We continue to work for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. We honor the past and welcome the future by being faithful in the present. I encourage you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith and actively serve in the cause of Christ. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed as we are faithful to God. Please consider supporting our broadcast with a financial donation. We rely upon your support. Tax receipts are issued for contributions. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec. The postal code is J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.